This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Housing affordability seems to be back on the political agenda, and with good reason. Despite apartments going up all over town, it's not getting any easier for first home buyers to enter the market. Around this time last year, first home buyers made up just 10% of all new loans. And if that doesn't change, we could be seeing a new generation of lifelong renters. To discuss the implications of this, I'm joined by business and political correspondent Kai Chow. Hi, Kai.
Good morning, Katrina. I didn't think that housing was ever off the political agenda.
Oh, well, I don't know. For me as a non-homeowner, I sometimes feel a bit frustrated that nothing ever seems to get done about this. And I must say, I was quite heartened when Gladys Berejiklian, I think, you know, virtually the day she got the job, declared that housing affordability was going to be one of her top priorities. So I guess I'm wondering if we're actually going to start seeing the political will to actually do something about this. What do you think?
Yes, well, look, I mean, when you say the political will, I think the political will be there for a majority Liberal government to do something about it. Whether it's actually going to be successful, of course, is a separate question. Mm. You know, so, for example, Gladys Berejiklian, like the Liberals for quite some time now, has been advocating a supply-side solution. In other words, we need to put more housing out there rather than trying to stop people from buying it or reduce the amount of people chasing after a home. So the whole idea, though, of building new houses is, it's one that some people say isn't necessarily going to be a great solution. Already we are building a lot of new housing already. For example, I think we've had in Australia's case 9.5 new housing starts per 1,000 people, and that's way above, say, the 3.6 new housing starts in the US. Just as a rough comparison.
Mm.
This supply side issue, though, it is important. So another point, for example, is that yes, there's a lot of new apartments. I think everyone around, say, Sydney is seeing new apartment towers shooting up. The problem is they're not cheap. Right?
No, they're not.
Exactly. So if you move a little bit outside the city centres, the new developments going up often are cheaper, say particularly in, that's what they found in Victoria and in Queensland. But in established areas, you know, shooting up new developments is really, let's put it this way, the reason why those developments are going up is because property developers are attracted by the current prices. So why would they put them up at the lower prices?
Well, it also seems as though with these new homes, and let's face it, there are a lot of them going up, but the vast majority of them are still being snapped up by investors and not by first home buyers. So it doesn't seem to have any bearing on housing affordability at all, really. What do you think would be some of the actual solutions? If supply doesn't, I know they always say it's the answer, but it doesn't seem to be working, what could be some other potential approaches?
Well, certainly there has been a lot of different ideas put forward. And I have to admit, there's often a bit of cynicism about a lot of the new solutions to these. But I think that we do need to look at all of them. I think it's a little unfair, for example, to look at a new scheme and say, oh, look, you know, there's no magic bullet to this solution. And while that's true, to be honest, I think we're going to need a lot of magic bullets to solve this. Housing supply is one of them. But another, as you've alluded to, there's a lot of investors still in the market. Now, the Commonwealth Bank this week has said that it's going to be tightening its credit rules for investor property loans again, right? So the banks have already, even though we may not have felt the effects too much, have already made it harder for investors to get a loan. And that notionally should be helping the first home buyers or any kind of home buyer. So then, of course, you have the tax side of the equation. And I think this is where we really get into this area of political will, as you've hinted before, and that is getting rid of negative gearing and changing the rules around, say, capital gains tax, potentially replacing replacing stamp duty, which everybody seems to hate, replacing stamp duty with, say, a land tax. Now, unfortunately, all of those ideas, every time that tech reform in those areas comes up, it gets floated because everyone knows that it probably is a pretty good solution, but then it gets shot down because there's a huge political response from, say, the mum and dad landlords and also property developers who can be very influential in the government. So that's a tough area, that area of tax reform, and I think we're more likely to see, you know, other ideas, smaller ideas that won't upset the apple cart quite so much, you know, coming from the government. And another area, for example, Katrina, is trying to develop precincts or you know, districts besides the Sydney CBD, for example, where people will want to live.
Well, Barnaby Joyce just said something like everyone should move to the country, but it doesn't really work if your job's not there, does it?
No, no, exactly. And that's why, if you are going to develop... So, for example, I was at a conference last week in Macquarie Park, and they're looking at developing what's called an innovation district there, right? Because they've realised they've got a hospital, they've got a university and a bunch of tech companies around there, and we have seen, you know, places around the world, a la Silicon Valley, become destinations in themselves. But you have to make them places where people actually want to live and walk around and, you know, not just kind of go, you know, drive in and drive out of, like, you know, so many, say, technology and business parks are. You know, those are all options that the government is looking at, trying to do so within the bounds of, you know, their political constraints.
So given that we're hearing all these ideas being tossed around, I think including the idea by Andrew Broad that, you know, renters should be able to forgo a deposit, all sorts of ideas are being tossed around. Do you think we'll see any policy emerging on this anytime soon?
Look, I think we will. I mean, the fact that Gladys Berejiklian has brought in Glenn Stevens, the former Reserve Bank governor, to look specifically at this issue of housing affordability, you know, I don't, you know, he will certainly need to be seen to be putting something forward. You know, the Liberal Party has also appointed Michael Sukar. You know, he's a young 35-year-old who really should understand the challenges that his peer group is going through in terms of housing affordability. And then, of course, in 2 months, we're going to have a budget, a federal budget, and I definitely expect there has to be something concrete for Malcolm Turnbull to put into that to show he's doing something about housing affordability, to show, you know, again, that he's a strong leader. I think he'll be very keen to show that he's not just in survival mode when that budget comes.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Kai.
No worries, Katrina.
That's business and political correspondent Kai Chow. We've been talking about that old chestnut, housing affordability.